into His Word. We're going to talk about the power of God to heal. Hey, we've been on a Power of God series. I want to show you the power of God because our reverence and our awe, our honor of Him, so much of it depends on us seeing God for who He is. And if we think our God is a little God with a little g, we don't give Him much honor. Okay, we don't respect Him. We don't look to Him. We don't run to Him. We don't expect of Him. Okay, but when we see Him as this humongous, massive power that is greater than anything that's ever been, great enough to create everything that's ever been, okay, then we begin to see Him and exalt God for who He is. So much of the Bible is about teaching us to exalt the Lord and to put Him up on the pedestal instead of ourselves or some other solution. And so looking at the power of God, and this particular one, we're going to talk about the power of God to heal, okay, what He can do both inside, physically, and every other way. So let's get into it with some prayer. Father, we are yielded ourselves to You in the name of Jesus. We love You and praise You this morning. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. We do honor and love You. We respect You for who You are. You are our God, and we are grateful to be Your children. Father, we are in the kingdom. Father, we are standing side by side with You as You lead us and guide us. We follow Your lead. We know that You're in front, You're behind, You're beside. Lord, You are everywhere, and we acknowledge that this morning, Your greatness in our life. I pray as we get into the healing power that You have poured out upon mankind, Lord, that we will grab hold of it and not lose sight of what You can do, Father. We trust You for this morning. We thank You in Jesus' name. Again, we say amen. Amen. So let's talk about the power of God to heal. You know, you think about what's going on in the world today, one of the most visible and tangible manifestations of the glory of God on earth today is rooted in His power to heal. Okay, the evangelists that go across the country leading tens of thousands of people to Christ in one day, it's still happening today, and so often God accompanies that with the signs, wonders, and miracles. We talked some about it last week, but it's rooted in this power to heal. Okay, people come to Jesus so often because they knew that He was a healer, that He could touch their life and their life would be forever changed. You know, the Bible records numerous accounts of Jesus healing people even during His 3.5 year ministry. It wasn't at it that long, but so much of it involved healing. If you remember, there's a story about a royal official that he came to Jesus when his son was on the verge of death. Okay, and Jesus simply spoke a word and the man's son was healed instantly, even though the son was more than a day's journey away, it said. Okay, well, another example would have been in the synagogue, okay, in their church setting of that day. Okay, there was a man that was tormented by a demonic oppression, and Jesus commanded it to come out, and it immediately left him. Okay, and he was set free. Okay, or if you remember Peter, okay, he wrote a couple books in the Bible, and Peter's mother-in-law was very sick with a fever. Okay, and the Bible says Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her. And I love that about that story, that it said then she got up, she felt so good that she got up and made everybody food. You know, I mean, that to me is walking out your healing, right? She got healed and she just jumps up and makes supper for everybody. Okay, well, it was then and it is now God's will to heal you. Okay, physically, emotionally, okay, and spiritually. It grieves God's heart when you're in pain of any sort, just like it would grieve or be heart-wrenching for a parent to see their child in pain or to see their child suffering. Okay, we want it to go away. Okay, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. In the book of Matthew, we'll start in Matthew chapter 4, looking at verse 23. It says, and when Jesus went about all Galilee, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Okay, it doesn't make it sound like there was any, he had any issue with healing. Okay, another one in Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. It says that when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Okay, now if you think about that passage, one thing I noticed when I read that is that this guy didn't have to beg and plead and twist Jesus' arm to come and heal his servant. Okay, do you notice that? He just had to come to Jesus in faith, okay, and let Jesus know what his need was. Finding out that the servant was sick was all that Jesus had to hear. He comes to him and says, "My servant is tormented." Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him. Where is this guy?" Right? He puts it in motion right away. There's no like, "Well, I'm kind of busy today, maybe tomorrow, you know, maybe some other time. We'll see how it turns out." There was none of that delay. There's nothing else. Jesus found out somebody was being tormented. He knows where torment comes from. And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him. Where is he? Let's go." Okay, and the centurion actually backed him off and said, wait, you know, don't come under my roof. And so Jesus just sent word and that man was healed. Mm-hmm. Okay, look at another one in Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 1. It's actually right before what we just read. It says, "When he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, 'If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately the leprosy was cleansed." See, Jesus loves to heal. Okay, never once is there any indication in the scriptures of someone that brought someone to Jesus or that came to Jesus themselves or they brought a loved one or a family member. We don't see anywhere where, you know, they come to Jesus to be healed and they get turned away. "Sorry, not today. Don't want to do it for you." Or like they're looked down upon or that they get shunned by Jesus in any way. Jesus expected people to come to him for healing. That was part of what God had put him on earth to do. Okay, Jesus knows full well the capacity and the objective of the devil, right? To steal and to kill and to destroy God's people, okay? Destroying man's kind. So when somebody would reach out to Jesus for healing, it would just flow from him freely. Okay, if you remember, there was people that would even push their way through the crowds to get to Jesus just to touch the hem of his garment. And in one place it says, and healing virtue went out of him. And he stops and says, "Wait a minute, who just got healed?" Somebody did. He knew that. It was such a part of Jesus' anointing that people would just get close enough to touch his garment and they would be instantly healed. Okay, people were known to doing that, and that healing virtue would instantly change their life. Okay, well, that healing anointing continues on today through people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, people that have believe in faith in what God is capable of doing through him. They pray to God in the name of Jesus. Okay, Jesus fully intended for his followers to continue on in this healing ministry that he started. Okay, it wasn't something he planned. "Oh, I'm just going to do this while I'm here, have the disciples do it for a while, and then it won't happen anymore." It literally was something he intended to continue on even until present day. If you think about it, Jesus would never give an instruction to go and do something if he didn't expect it to be done. I mean, that'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? You know, so I tell somebody, "Hey, can you drive my car down to the car shop down there?" And then expect them not to do it. It wouldn't make sense. You don't give an instruction to somebody to do something if you don't plan on them doing it. Okay, I would follow through and just show up at the dealership because I expect my car to be there. I plan for that to happen. Okay, well, Jesus gave many instructions on his disciples, telling them to go forth and to heal. Okay, heal the sick. Okay, let's look at a couple of those in Matthew chapter 10. Got lots of scriptures in Matthew. You know why that is? Because when I'm looking up scriptures about healing or miracles of Jesus, that's all the further into the New Testament you have to get is the book of Matthew, and you've got all the information you need. All the other books all have stories. In fact, I think it's Mark had more healing and more testimonies of miracles than anybody else, and his is the shortest book. If you want a bunch of the miracles of Jesus, read the book of Mark. Okay, but as I'm going through, that's all the further I'd have to get is, "Oh, here's an example. Look at this." Okay, well, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says this. It says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Again, in verse 7, he says to them, "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Okay, now I want to point out something here about the sickness that Jesus tells them to go heal. Okay, it means not only the physical sickness that can come upon a person, like a flu or a withered hand or a blood-borne disease or a cancer, a broken bone. Okay, it means all that. But it also goes beyond that. That word sickness in the Greek is the word asthenio. Okay, and it means to be sick or to be weak. Okay, now let your brain grab that for just a second. To be sick, like healing the sick, or to heal the weak. Okay, that word, as you see how the authors of the New Testament use it, they would refer to things like being weak in faith, same word, okay, as sick. Okay, or they would talk about having a weakness to stand strong against sin, or a weakness in conscience of somebody that would not allow for them or that kind of kept them from doing the right things. They were weak in that conscience. Jesus wants to heal you from weaknesses and shortcomings. Okay, those areas where you fall short. Okay, everybody remember the verse? Romans Road to Salvation, we all have fallen short of the glory of God, right? We all fall short. Those areas where you fall short, he wants to heal. Okay, those areas where you are weak, he wants to make you strong. Okay, he wants you to overcome in those areas, to not constantly be bombarded with the same thing over and over and over again. He wants to strengthen you beyond that, to get you to a point where that is no longer a weakness for you. Okay, I'm living proof. I know that that's what he does. Jesus is the exact one to get you to that overcoming place. Willpower won't get it done. We read this verse already in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, but I want to read it to you again out of the Amplified because it tells what the real meaning or deeper meaning of that verse is. It says, "And he went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every weakness and infirmity among the people." Okay, well, that word weakness, I looked it up in the dictionary. Here's the definition of it. Okay, it is, number one, it is the quality or state of being weak. Okay, also an instance or a period of being weak, like someone backed down in a moment of weakness. Okay, it is a fault or a defect, something that's not like it's supposed to be, in other words. It is a special desire or fondness. We could probably all relate to this. Someone has a weakness for sweets. Okay, a weakness for whatever it is. Okay, that is something that seems to get the best of us. It's something that, you know, we should or shouldn't do, but we give into it. It's a weak area. It's something that we tend to step into. Okay, so think about what it means for Jesus to heal that sort of a weakness in your life. Okay, those instances were moments when your flesh rises up, okay, and you blow up in anger. Okay, or you give in to lust. Okay, or you tell a fib or you lie about something. Okay, those are the exact kinds of things that he can and will heal. Okay, he heals the weakness. Okay, those times when you cringe at what you just did or what you just said, and you say to yourself, "Why do I do things like that?" Okay, those are the exact sort of faults and defects in your character that he came to heal you of. See, Jesus didn't just establish a divine level of, you know, living, right? He set the stage, right? The stage of a perfection, okay? But he didn't just set a divine level of morality and then not empower you to do it, okay? He didn't just set the stage for what it meant to live as a true Christian believer just to expect you to fail over and over and over again. Okay, he told you what it is. He told you what that level of morality. God expects this. Then he sets the example of how to do it. And then through his Holy Spirit, he empowers you. And he delivers you from the weakness of your flesh so that you can live up to it. Okay, some people are just expect to be sinning, be a sinner. I've got this weak area in my life. I've had it. I'm always going to have it. That's that. And that is simply not true thinking. Jesus says, the Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. That means we can think about things from the perspective of the Almighty. To be able to see that for what it really is and to be empowered then, we're going to talk about the power next week, where that comes from, but to be empowered then to overcome that, to not give in to that weakness anymore, to live out your life as a Christian believer is possible because of Jesus. That's what he went to the cross to give you. Okay, now if we occasionally miss the mark, then we have grace through faith in his name. But Jesus fully intends for you to be free from sin, free from sickness and torment. Okay, that's why when he heard about that guy, my servant is grievously tormented, Jesus said, I'll come heal him. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want to see you in torment or to have things in your life that were not from his Father. See, it was his will and his practice to heal while he walked on the earth, and he has not changed. Okay, the Bible tells us he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, he is still actively healing and delivering people today. Okay, Jesus is the one that said, and I quote, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Okay, now that was a great word for the disciples, right? That they could pray to God in the name of Jesus and expect to see it come to pass. But it's still the same for you and I today. That same word, when you pray, believe it, and you shall receive it. Okay? It's that same message that if we ask God in Jesus' name, he will do it because then God gets the glory for it. Okay? And Jesus wants to heal not only your physical body and to get into your emotional part, that your mind, will, and emotions, to be able to help with the places where emotionally we've been distraught. Okay, but he also wants to heal your weaknesses and the wounds in your spirit. Okay, the spirit of man. Okay, if you've ever prayed and believed for something that didn't come to pass, okay, but maybe the exact opposite of what you were praying for came to pass, that's what happened. You were probably wounded in your spirit. Okay, your faith took a hit. Something you can't comprehend. I prayed in the name of Jesus and it didn't come to pass. Why not? And your spirit inside, something takes a hit. Okay, if you remember that man that came to Jesus and he wanted Jesus to heal his son, Jesus says to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And you remember what the man said? I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. In other words, that man had probably done everything he knew to get his son to feel better before that, all to no avail. It just didn't make it up. It didn't measure up. Whatever he had tried, it didn't happen. And so he comes to Jesus and says, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's still that wound that he needed to be healed from. Okay, and that's exactly what he got. That man's wound was healed and his son was healed physically. Okay, that's one of the devil's strategies that he uses against the Christian believer is to get you into despair. Okay, to get you to hopelessness. Okay, where you'll quit praying. People will quit praying because their prayer didn't come to pass the way they wanted it to. They will not go to God anymore. Maybe for little stuff. I'll pray over a meal. You know, I'll pray for this. But they won't pray to God for things anymore. Not the big stuff. Because they got hurt. They got wounded. Something happened in their spirit. The devil comes at you like you're a tree that he is chopping down. Okay, he does a hit here and there. Some of them are bigger than others. Okay, sometimes it's just a blunt force. It just kind of knocks you back. Other times it really puts a deep cut. Okay, he chips away at you, tries to weaken you so that he can overcome you. Okay, obviously his goal is that you'll fail altogether and fall, right? I don't know if you guys seen the work of beavers, but I see it pretty closely out at our place out there, where they'll have trees, you know, that are this big around, and they'll just gnaw away at that tree all the way around. And I've noticed they don't always just eat it down until there's nothing left and then it falls over. They just chip away until they eat all the way around and maybe take it in a few inches. It's still going to stand for a long time, but they know the damage is done. They don't have to touch that tree anymore. It is wounded. It is dying. And within time, the wind is going to help blow that tree over right into the river where they want it. Okay, that's what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to wound you and not get those wounds healed. So it just gets deeper and deeper. And then pretty soon, you're just dead spiritually, not living it out anymore, not walking in faith. Okay, if he can get you to not walk in faith, he wins. You're spiritually dead at that point. Okay, don't take me, that's not doctrine. I'm just saying that spiritually, you won't be living out your life the way God wants you to. Okay, and at that point, that's when we need to get healed. Now, can you and I go out and touch a tree and make it live again? No. But you know what God can do? He can take that tree, it can fall down, and those branches out here will still continue to grow, and sometimes they'll even get a root and begin to take off, and new trees grow from that. God can heal even what the enemy has done, no matter how bad he has done it. Here's how I know that. Jesus is on your side, and I know that he heals wounds. Here's how I know that. It's in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is Jesus talking, and it's a capital S here. He says, "The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Okay, this is good news if you've been bruised, if you've been hurt, if you've been wounded. Okay, Jesus came to set you free from that. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Okay, that term brokenhearted, if you look it up, it refers to something that has been crushed or shattered. Okay, that's brokenhearted. Okay, if you've ever known somebody, you got to know them very well, you're very close with somebody, and one day you find out they are not who you thought they were, okay, and you're devastated by that, okay, then you know what it means to be brokenhearted. Okay, it's very crushing. Rejection by a friend or a family member or a spouse can hurt like everything. The writer of Proverbs put it this way, Proverbs 18:14. He said this. He said, "The spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" Okay, in other words, the spirit of man, okay, what's inside of you can sustain you in a sickness. But as for a broken spirit, who can bear that? It's too much to bear, in other words. It's more than we can handle. Okay? Bible says God will never, you know, somebody says, the Bible doesn't say it. Some people say that God will never give you more than you can handle, and that's not true. Okay? Sometimes more comes into your life than you can handle. I'm not saying it's always God that's bringing that. Most of the time it's like this. It's a wounded spirit from the devil. He threw some stuff at you, chipped at your tree, got you broken, crushed. You know, that's one of the most, being brokenhearted is one of the most debilitating things on earth. Okay, that is being crushed at your core. You know, I had a good friend from high school that we used to give him a hard time because he got knocked out with one punch in a fight over a girl one time. Okay, well, it wasn't a punch to the jaw or to the side of the head or something like that. It was one punch right here in his diaphragm. Okay, and it knocked the wind out of him so bad that before he could catch his breath, before he could start breathing again, he passed out. Okay, that's a gut punch, right? That's a solid down for the count punch. Okay, well, maybe you haven't experienced a physical gut punch like that. Okay, but we've all probably had the wind knocked out of us by a punch that the enemy threw at us. Something that was bigger than we were willing to handle or able to handle. And maybe a relationship was dismantled with one argument. Okay, or a minor financial mistake on our part, the devil turns it into a catastrophe. Okay, maybe you lost a job or lost a loved one. And it hit you so hard that it took a very long time for you to catch your breath again. I've seen people that are so brokenhearted. This is a true story. I've seen people that are so brokenhearted that they just stare blankly at the wall for hours at a time. Okay, and they're not thinking about anything in particular while they're doing that. In fact, it's just the opposite. They are trying to not think about anything. It hurts that bad. They just want to block it all out. Okay, they're reduced to basically just breathing and blinking. The good news is that Jesus set the oppressed free. Okay, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captives. Okay, to set you free, to put at liberty the bruised and the wounded. He told us, and this is scripture, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay, as Peter was preaching one time, he reminded the people, this was recorded in the book of Acts, Acts 10:38. He reminds them how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, oppression is defined as being pressed down or squeezed with heaviness. Okay, Jesus wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace, to be able to live and breathe freely and not walk around heavily burdened. Remember his saying, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." He wanted it to be that way for you. Jesus did what he did, going to the cross, literally taking the beating for you. Okay, literally enduring the rejection. Okay, the pain and the suffering and the sickness and the hurt, and he bore it all on the cross. Okay, and as he took his last breath on that cross and he exhaled that out from the cross, he was suffering through every last bit of pain for you. Okay, not just for you, but with you. He knew what was coming. Okay, he knows your life and he knows that he was going to bear that for you. Jesus stepped in and took every heartache, okay, every rejection, every snubbing, okay, every sickness and disease that the enemy had planned for you, and he took it upon himself. So that when you reach out to Jesus for healing, okay, of any sort, Jesus looks at you and says, "Yes, my child, that is exactly why I went to the cross." See, Jesus not only took that suffering upon himself, but if you'll grasp this, it'll help you. Jesus defeated it. Okay, he overcame it. Okay, he conquered it. In John chapter 16, Jesus said this, 16:33. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Okay, again, Paul said this in Colossians 2:13 through 15. He says, "And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." See, when Jesus had disarmed the supernatural forces of evil operating against you, he made a public example of them, having triumphed over them through the cross. Jesus knew more than we will probably even grasp what he accomplished on the cross. And this is a passage that tells us that Jesus put them in their place. He took and triumphed over that forces that are coming against you. God wants you well today, okay? And he has the power to heal you. So turn to him. Okay, I know that the pain from the wounds, the hurts, sometimes even the physical pain can be extremely heavy. But if you can muster up enough breath to cry out and say, Jesus, I am being tormented. Jesus will say to you, I will come and heal you. I will be right there. Let's go take care of this. Okay? He doesn't want you to suffer long. He's not getting any glory out of that. He wants to heal those wounds. That's where the testimony comes. That's where the healing begins. Okay? When you're able to go, then those things that you're going through are not so that you can suffer. It's so that you'll be able to help somebody else that went through something else like that. That's part of your life's testimony. It's the things that God wants to get you over, okay, to get you through. Jesus has healed millions before you, and he can heal you as well. Okay, just cry out to him. Father God, we're going to do that right now. Father, we lean on you right now, Father. We're trusting in you as the Lord thy God that heals. Father, you deliver. You set us free from addictions and from torments, from things that have gotten into our mind, from negative thoughts and attitudes. You heal us from the wounds that we've taken in our emotions, in our psyche. Father, in our mind, our will and emotions, those part of us, Father, you have taken that and healed it. And Father, I pray that you manifest that in our lives today, Lord. Manifest that physical healing in our bodies today, Lord, that we not go through life suffering, but we go through life with testimony of what we had, the devil threw at us, but what you overcame and overpowered and healed us of. Father, we are trusting in you. Lord Jesus, have your way in our hearts and our minds. Have your way in our physical body. Let it be you that is exalted and glorified, and let the enemy be in his rightful place under our feet. Let that triumph that you succeeded in, that triumph that you accomplished for us, let it be made manifest more and more in our lives, Lord. Let us grab onto it and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did for me. Father, I pray that we go forth from here with a new attitude about life, Lord. That you are the Lord that heals us. You are our source. You are our strength. That you help us to overcome, to get over the hurts and the wounds, to patch up our tree, Father. That you put us in a better place in life because of our faith in you. God, we are trusting in you. We are praying to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we fully plan and expect, Lord, for your health, your healing, your divine ministry, your healing grace to take place in this room today. Lord God, we acknowledge you. We thank you as our Creator, as our loving God who cares for us, who has done all that needed to be for us to live this life. Father, we thank you for helping us in our weak areas. Get us to overcome, Father, those things that have come at us time after time again. Let it be the last time. Let it be no more. Let it not come with any power anymore towards us. Let your strength, Lord, rise up in us. You did it perfectly. You live in us. So now you can live through us, Lord, to strengthen us to do what we need to do every day. Father, we're praising you for it. We pray you, we thank you, we exalt you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen.